Hey, everybody, I'm Matthew Elaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Let's pray and release faith over today's broadcast, and then we'll get right into the Word. Father, we do thank you again today, Lord, for your Word. We ask you today for revelation of your Word. We ask you today for grace and help to receive your Word, to put it into practice and to see it work in our lives. And Lord, I release my faith today over everybody watching the broadcast. I thank you, Lord, for ministering to them today through this broadcast in a great and in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, on today's broadcast, we're going to start a new series that we're calling The Goodness and Severity of God. And friend, in this series, we're going to be gaining revelation about who God truly is. And we're going to be discovering that God is both really, really good, and at times, He can be very severe. We're going to be talking about things like the judgment of God and the purpose of judgment and why God has to judge. And so, friend, I believe in this series, there's going to be some questions that are really answered for people. And I want to encourage you, make sure you don't miss any of the teachings in this series. I believe it's really going to help you, bless you, and change your life. Praise the Lord. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 11, and we will look there at verse 22, and this will be our foundation text for this series. Romans 11 and verse 22, it says there, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off." And so that scripture is telling us to behold, or you could say to see and even be aware of. Behold what? Be aware of what? Be aware of both the goodness of God and the severity of God, the strictness of God. And so God is both very, very good, and He is severe when He needs to be. Now, I want to go over to Exodus 34, and we'll see this again in the scripture. And we're going to come back, I believe, next time on the broadcast and talk in more detail about those things in Romans 11. But I want you to see from the scripture that God, He is both very good, and according to the scripture, He is also severe. Now, a lot of people don't like that about Him, and a lot of people like to pretend, no, He's only good. He doesn't even have a severe side. But friend, that's not true according to the scripture. And so we need to let God be who He reveals Himself to be in the Word. And friend, that's a New Testament verse. You know, a lot of people think, well, God used to be severe in the Old Testament, but now He's not severe, He's only good. Friend, Romans is in the New Testament. So that means that God doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3, He said, "I am the Lord, I change not." And God was both very good and severe in the Old Testament, and He is both still very good and very severe in the New Testament. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the Holy Ghost, they died that day. Well, that's the severe side of God. That's in the book of Acts. That's in the New Testament. And so God is still very, very good. But He's not only good, He is also very severe. He can very strict, you could say. He can be very harsh at times. And the good news, friend, is that if you will follow the Lord, I hear some people getting discouraged on the broadcast. I'm going to turn you off, Matthew. I'm not watching this series. No, you want to lay hold of this. The good news is, friend, if you will follow God, if you will heed His words, repent when you need to repent, if you will do that, you can live a life where you never even see His severeness or His severity in your life, and you can live a life where you only see the goodness of God, praise God. But just because that's true doesn't mean that God doesn't have a severe side, because He does. Now, Exodus chapter 34, and this is a very powerful scripture here in verse 5. It says there, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him," stood with Moses there, "and proclaimed the name of the Lord." And so God visits Moses, and he's getting ready to proclaim his very name to Moses. And this is what the Lord said about himself. The reason this is so powerful is because these are God's words out of his own mouth about who he is. It's all powerful, and when God comes on somebody and speaks inspired utterance, certainly that is the word of God. I mean, that's what the New Testament is. But this verse just struck me almost to another level, because this is God's words out of his own mouth. This is not coming through a man. This is coming directly from God to Moses, and God is telling Moses, "This is my name. This is who I am." And so, friend, you want to have your spiritual antennas up right now, because you're getting ready to find out, according to God, who he is. And it says there, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed," verse 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation." Now here's a verse right here again. We're seeing that God has both a good side, that we're seeing both the goodness of God, and we're also seeing the severity of God. The goodness of God was that the Lord is merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. That's the goodness of God. But then it says, "But yet he will by no means clear the guilty, even visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation." So it is true that God is both good, and he is also severe. Say amen to this, friend. Let God be who he says he is. Now, what's the good news? You can live your life in such a way where you never see a severe side, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have one. God is both good, and he is both, and he is also severe. Now, this language about God being gracious and God being merciful and God being good and God being long-suffering, that language, we see the Lord in Scripture, he uses that language multiple times to reveal to us who he is, and he wanted us to know these specific things about him. What? That I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm long-suffering, I'm good. And he used that language multiple times because he wanted us to know that about him. God's a good God. God's a merciful God. God is a long-suffering God, or a God who's slow to anger. God is a gracious God. And friend, I'm telling you, I think it's half dozen times, probably more than that, that in the Scripture, God uses that language in multiple instances. And I want to read you some of those right now. In Numbers 14, 18, it says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression And then here it is again, and by no means clearing the guilty. But what was the language? The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy and forgiving iniquity and transgression. Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 86, 5, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon you. Verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 145, 8, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all. Come on, friend, do you see these verses? God keeps using this language. I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm ready to forgive, I'm good, I'm long-suffering, I'm slow to anger. He wants us to know these things about Him. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, it says, but you are a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Verse 31, you are gracious and merciful God. Praise God. Joel chapter 2, verse 13 says, He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. Jonah 4, 2, you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Why would God keep using this kind of language? He specifically wants us to know these things about Him, that He's merciful, He's gracious, He's slow to anger, He's good, He's ready to forgive. This is who God is. Now, friend, we've mentioned it already. Whatever God says He is, He is. And He is what He says He is in spite of what people try to say about Him, or even in spite of what your experiences say about Him. A lot of people have an experience and they'll go, well, if God's good, I haven't seen it. Look at all this thing in my life. Well, you're trying to say that God is not who He says He is in His Word. And God is merciful. God is gracious. God is good. He is long-suffering. He is slow to anger. And He is faithful. And He is those things independent of what you or I or what our circumstances say about Him. Whatever He says He is, He is. And if He said He's good, then He is. And if He said He's merciful, then He is. Praise God. And if He said He's gracious, then He is gracious. And if He said He's slow to anger, then He is slow to anger. And if He says that He's faithful and ready to forgive, then He is. And if He says it six times, come on, friend, then I guess He really is. No, if He said it one time, He is. But I just read you, I think, half dozen or more verses of God using that kind of language. And back in Exodus, when God showed up to Moses and He chose these very words to say to Moses, to reveal to Moses who He is. And He told Moses, I am merciful, I'm gracious, I'm long-suffering, I'm abundant in goodness. Well, see, that we're talking about the goodness of God right now. We're not talking about His severity, we're talking about His goodness. Now, in Exodus 34, if you look up the words, the word merciful, I want to give you some definitions of merciful, gracious, long-suffering, goodness, and abundant in truth. I want to define those things for us. I think it'll help us to understand who God truly is. The word merciful means that He's not cruel. God is not cruel. The word merciful means He's inclined to pity offenders and to forgive offenses. God is inclined, it's just in His nature, to what? To pity an offender and to forgive an offense. He's merciful. He's not cruel. but he wants to forgive. I like this. Merciful means, this is out of Webster's 1828 dictionary, he is unwilling to punish. Unwilling to punish. What does that mean? Punishment is not something God wants to do. Praise God. Now, there comes a time, because he's the righteous judge of the earth, where he has to punish and has to judge, but he doesn't want to. He is unwilling to punish. Punishment and judgment is not God's first choice. We'll talk about that more in this series. Merciful means that God also is tender. He's gentle. He's mild. Now, God has a severe side, but that's not how God wants to be. There are times where he has to be severe, but God is gentle. He's merciful. He's not cruel. God's not mean. Praise God. Friend, are you hearing this? He's merciful. He's inclined to forgive. The next thing he told Moses is that the Lord God is gracious. Gracious means that he's friendly. God is friendly. Gracious means he's kind. And then again, he's inclined to forgive offenses and bestow blessings. God's gracious. He wants to forgive, and then he wants to bless. He's friendly. He's kind. To be gracious means to do good and to help. God's gracious. He wants to do good. Praise God. He wants to help. He's friendly. He's kind. He wants to bless. This is the God that you and I serve. Praise God. In fact, in Exodus 22:26, I like this verse. The Lord said, if you at all take your neighbor's raiment or clothes or coat as a pledge, or you could say as collateral, and he said, you shall deliver it unto him by the time that the sun goes down, for that is his covering only. How will he sleep? He'd get cold when he sleeps. It says, when he cries unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. And when he cries unto me, I'll hear, for what? I am gracious. And what's God saying? Look, if you take collateral, take somebody's coat for collateral, or their covering for collateral for something you loan to them, if they haven't given it back to you by the end of the night, you give them their clothes, their covering back anyway, because I don't want them to have to be cold when they sleep at night. You see, this is the God you and I serve. He's kind. He's gracious. He wants to forgive, and he wants to help, and he wants to bless and do good. God's friendly. See, that's a friendly thing to do. Well, I'm going to give you your coat back anyway, because I don't want you to be cold tonight when you sleep. Praise God. Well, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9 says, this God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn his face from you if you return to him. See, that's being kind. That's being friendly. He told Moses also, he said, I am, the Lord is long-suffering. Long-suffering means I'm slow to anger. I'm not easily provoked. God is patient. Friend, if you see God judging someone, if you see God's anger or wrath being poured out on something, someone, here's what you know. That didn't happen overnight. God was slow to do that. God gave them time to repent and lots of time. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. And so anytime you see somebody incurring the wrath, the anger, the judgment of God, you know they had multiplied instances and opportunities that God gave them to repent and change, but they wouldn't. Why? Because God's merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He went on to say he's abundant in goodness. If you look up that word goodness, it means kind. Kind. And if you look up that word kind, it means that God delights in contributing to the happiness of others and satisfying their desires, supplying their wants, and even alleviating their distresses. Well, doesn't that sound like who our God is? He's good, he's kind, and he delights in the prosperity and the happiness of others, and he wants to satisfy people's desires. Didn't that say that in Psalm 37, that the Lord would give you the desires of your heart? He wants to supply our wants, our needs. Well, isn't that what it says in Philippians 4:19? That God will give us all of our meet all our needs according to His riches in glory? Isn't that what it said? And that He wants to alleviate our distresses? Isn't that what it said in Psalm 34:19? That many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them out of them all? Isn't this the God we serve? He's abundant in goodness. He's kind. He wants to give you what you need, what you desire. And if you're in a hard time, He wants to deliver you out of it. Why? He's abundant in goodness. Praise God. He also said, He's in that verse to Moses, that the Lord is abundant in truth. That means He's faithful. He's reliable. He's sure. He's a God of truth. You can count on Him. This is who God is. He's merciful. He's not cruel. He's gracious. He's friendly. He's kind. He's slow to anger, slow to judge. He gives people time to repent. And He's abundant in goodness. He wants to satisfy your desires and give you what you need and deliver you in a time of trouble. Our God is a good God, praise God. And that's what He's telling Moses. This is who I am. And then He told us 6 or 7, 8, 12 more times in the verses, the Lord God, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, good. We are talking now about the goodness of God. Praise God. I'm thankful, friend, that you and I serve a good God. I'm thankful that we serve a merciful God. We serve a gracious God. We serve a God who's slow to anger. I can testify to that in my life. Praise God. God's given me time to make changes and grow. And He's abundant and good in goodness. He wants to give you what you want, what you desire, and deliver you in a time of trouble. And here's what else He is. He's faithful. You can count on Him. He's trustworthy. Praise God. Now that's the good side of God. That's His goodness. Now let's look at His severity. It said in Exodus 34, in verse 7, that He keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. But He will also by no means clear the guilty, even visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. He will by no means clear the guilty. Friend, God never changes. If He was this way in Exodus, He is this way today. He won't clear the guilty. Now, who are the guilty? The guilty are the ones who aren't forgiven. And friend, the only way to not be forgiven is to not repent. And so when He's talking about He won't clear the guilty are not just the ones that make the mistake. The guilty are the ones who make the mistake and won't repent, and so they don't get forgiven, and so they won't be cleared. Are you seeing this? See, when He says He won't clear the guilty, He's not just talking about people who make mistakes. No, because we all make mistakes. The guilty are the ones. Come on, if you make a mistake and you repent and receive forgiveness, then you're not guilty of it anymore. And so when He's saying He won't clear the guilty, He's talking about those who won't repent. Those who won't repent are going to be the ones that see the severity of God. And friend, if God corrects you about something and you just decide, I'm not going to repent, I'm going to keep doing that, well, God will extend His mercy to you for a period of time. But if He comes to the place where He knows you're not going to change, then you will not, people like that will not go unpunished. They will see the severity of God. Hearken back to Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. If you won't repent when God corrects you, then He starts to give you space to repent. He'll give you time. But if you won't repent, then you will start to see His severity. He won't clear the guilty. God is still this way. He has not changed. A lot of times people think about God, they're like, well, I'm glad God isn't the way He was in the Old Testament anymore. Sorry, no. He is still the way He was in the Old Testament. Now, our covenant has changed, but God is still that way. And in the New Testament, just like in the Old Testament, if God comes and corrects you and you don't want to change and you won't change and you just want to keep doing what you want to do, well, then God is long-suffering and He's merciful and He'll start to give you time to repent. But friend, if you won't, you will start to see His severity and you don't have to, because you can repent and then you can see His mercy and you can see His kindness and you can see His grace in your life and you won't be guilty and you won't see His severity. But you will see His goodness. If you follow God and repent when you need to, you will never see His severity. But we don't need to act like, well, I can just do whatever I want and I'll never see God's severity because I'm saved. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, boy, they saw it. They were saved and they saw God's severity. And so if we will repent when we need to, make the changes when we need to, you don't have to be concerned. Smile, friend. I know we've been talking about some sobering things, but smile. You don't have to be concerned. Do you love God? Will you repent and make changes when you need to? I hear people saying, yes, I will. You'll never see God's severity if you live like that. You will only see His goodness. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Can you say thank you, Lord? Well, that's all the time we have for today. So I was trying to squeeze another thing in there, but I can't. We're out of time. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for who You are. And we love You the way that You are. We love both Your severity and Your goodness. And Father, over these coming weeks, we thank You for revealing to us who You truly are. We want to see both Your goodness and Your severity. And Father, in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, help us to heed Your words. Help us to heed Your correction when You bring it to us. And Father, help us to repent when we need to repent and make the changes that we need to make so that we never have to encounter Your severity, but that we will only experience Your goodness. For David said in the Psalms, Your goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And Father, let that be our testimony, that as we follow You fully, and as if we make mistakes, and when we make mistakes, as we repent and continue to follow You and stick with You, we will see Your goodness abound in our lives, and we will miss the severity of God. And Father, we do thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, I'm telling you, you do not want to miss any of the teachings in this series. There are going to be some great things that God reveals to us in the teachings ahead, as He did today, and you won't want to miss it. So, hey, make sure you join us next time on the Faithful Life broadcast as we continue this powerful series that we're calling The Goodness and Severity of God. We'll see you later.
Today's broadcast was made possible by the partners of Matthew Alaria Ministries and the members of North Smoke Church. Go to mam.tv to become a partner today and help us take the message of faith to this generation.